Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hey everybody, it's Michael Steele here. Now, I know you're waiting for the next big episode of the Michael Steele Podcast, but in the meantime, give a listen to this Michael Steele Podcast Quick Take.
Welcome back to the Rick Unger Show on this Tuesday edition. If you are just coming to the program, well, we spent the last half hour with our friend Michael Steele, and he stays with us for a little bit more time. There is just way too much to catch up on. Michael Steele, as you know, is the former chairman of the RNC, the former Maryland lieutenant governor, the current MSNBC analyst, and the current host of the very popular podcast, aptly named the Michael Steele Podcast. He's also available for weddings and bar mitzvahs if you're looking for a DJ. That would be Steele on Wheels. You'll find it in the Yellow Pages. All right, Michael,
have Yellow Pages?
I don't know.
Unless it's in my phone, it doesn't exist.
Let me get your assessment of how the Biden administration is doing so far and whether the easy part's over and it's all going to be ugly from here on in.
I think they've done well given what they were handed. I think folks need to take a step back and recognize a truth. That unlike his predecessors, Joe Biden did not have a transition. And to the extent that there was, quote, a transition, it was not one built on cooperation.
Right.
And that is very, very apparent in our national security defense sectors, where the folks that I've talked to in those areas, they're playing serious catch up. Because of the lack of cooperation during transition by the Trump team. And that certainly was the case on a number of fronts related to COVID-19, the vaccination program, the rules around social engagement and all of that. So they've had to cover a lot of ground without the runway that most presidents have coming in. So everyone is now looking at them and judging them through that prism, and which I think is unfair, but okay, since this is Washington, it's hardball, it's how the game is played, okay, they've done a damn good job.
Yeah.
I mean, because they are ahead of schedule of having over 100 million Americans vaccinated by the end of May, beginning of June, and that number is increasing. Despite the idiocy that's still out there on the streets where people are like, oh, I'm not taking a vaccine. and these white Republican men, maybe that thins the herd. I don't know. I can't even begin to think what these idiots are thinking. And if I'm their spouse or their children, I'm looking at them like, well, then you go sleep in the backyard because there's no need for you to be in this house.
I don't
want to
be near you. Right.
Right. But I think that the way the legislation, the COVID-19 relief bill was handled, he got it done. No Republicans, House or Senate, supported it, which I think comes back to bite Republicans in next year's election. Because I think the country is going to be healthier and better off. The economy is they're taking the steps necessary to create a soft landing for the economy, meaning avoiding hyperinflation, avoiding, further loss of jobs and businesses, trying to stimulate as much as possible. So, I think in that sense, they've done a good job. And now the next big hurdle, I think, is going to be on the infrastructure front. And I think that could potentially be a win because a whole lot of Republicans want it.
See,
and
I think there's a hurdle before that.
It's one thing to sit back and say, I don't want to do COVID. But it's hard to tell, people who work with their hands in your state or in your congressional district that you're not bringing shovel-ready jobs to them.
I think there's another hurdle we have to face before. I agree with you that it'll be a huge hurdle to do infrastructure, but we cannot forget that we have these two bills, H.R. 1, designed to protect voting rights, and the John Lewis voting bill, which does the same, which basically tells the Supreme Court that they were just full of it in messing with the Voting Rights Act. So, you know, you got those things hanging around at the Senate. I think, in my view, as important as certainly as a piece of progressive legislation, as important as the American Relief Act was, and as badly needed as the infrastructure bill is, I wonder how we continue to be a democracy or a democratic republic if we can't get those two pieces of legislation through the Senate. Do you agree?
Yeah, I do. But look, let's be frank about what we're talking about here. No one appreciates what those bills do and what they are and what they mean to the point you just made about being a democratic republic. Most people don't even know what we are as a country.
Right. Right.
And that's unfortunate. I think there's got to be a great deal more education and a great deal more in-your-face information to push back on the point. And I think there should have been, or maybe there is, more of a slingshot opportunity all coming off of the 2020 elections and the horror of January 6th to emphasize that. The problem with H.R. 1, and as chairman of the U.S. Vote Foundation, we support H.R. 1. I'm supportive of H.R. 1, not all of H.R. 1, mm-hmm. but because, you know, they did what they always do. They load it with a bunch of crap that has nothing to do with anything, and it becomes a target. Take the John Lewis bill standalone, boom. Take the voting provisions of H.R. 1 standalone, boom. And all the other Christmas tree stuff, and the same was true with the COVID bill, which is why Republicans, you gave them an out when you loaded it up with, you know, programs on, you know, had nothing to do with COVID. And even though you could, you know, make a tangential argument, you know, in the education space, is, you know, just to help, at the end of the day, that's not what people see and that's not what people know. So I think the administration has a chance to educate a little bit more on those two pieces so that they can, you know, get the support and momentum behind it. Otherwise, you're looking at a filibuster question battle in the Senate over do you remove the filibuster on H.R. 1 or on the John Lewis bill or on the D.C. vote? I mean, all the things pressing the country, making D.C. a state is not one of them. So, you know, that's, and I say that as a native Washingtonian, right. You know, my parents still live in the city. Yes, we don't have full representation in the Congress. I get there. I worked on the first constitutional amendment in 1978 to give D.C. voting rights, not to make it a state, but to give it voting rights. So I'm all up in that issue. But I'm also looking at all the other things that you want to go to, you know, which hill you want to go die on. And right now,
and when you choose to die on it,
and when you choose to die on that hill. And I don't think right now loading those types of things in front of the country makes the better case for you, as opposed to pulling out the stuff that people can wrap their head around and agree with, get the momentum behind them, and force the Congress to do the right thing.
Yeah, I think there's some reason in that. I do. It was pretty much what I thought you would say. I have to say that I can't disagree with you that there was obviously a lot in the American Recovery Act that didn't have a lot to do with recovery or COVID. Now, as I really liked the things that I saw there, I really thought it was the most progressive piece of legislation probably since LBJ.
Yeah.
I wasn't unhappy about it, but I can understand the point that you make. I can't. I find the H.R. 1, and you're right, there are some things in there that are Christmas tree items. It's essential. And I kind of with you on this. I'm all for making Washington, D.C. a state. I don't like the taxes. organization without representation, I think is antithetical to our entire system. Nevertheless, I do have to agree. I should be reading about H.R. 1 and the Lewis bill every single day in the paper, and I'm not. Right. So I see that as a problem. If you're all just joining, we are talking with Michael Steele, former chairman of the RNC and currently an MSNBC political analysis. You can't miss him. He's on every single show, every single day. all right. So, Michael, before we have to wrap up, which is coming way too soon, we got about a minute. I am curious how you feel about the GOP state-based efforts with respect to voter suppression. Is it bothering you as much as me?
It's offensive.
It really is.
As offensive as hell, and it is un-American. As antithetical to everything that we stand for. We were the party that fought for votes for black folks after and during Reconstruction. We were the party that
and argued. To make it clear, when you say we, you mean the Republicans.
The Republican Party, yeah.
Nobody's quite so sure what your party is anymore. So
yeah,
it is not that.
It is not that. Every American should be offended by what's going on. It is sad that a significant number of our fellow Americans are not. We have fallen into a white nationalist hole of hate and stupidity. And now we find ourselves trying to disenfranchise black folks because we don't like how they vote. And watch next year, these same idiots are going to show up talking about trying to get the black vote.
Yep.
And
yep.
and they think we, you know, are going to be little zombies and follow along. And that's just not how this is going to play out for them.
I absolutely hate to say it because there's so much more I want to talk about, but we are out of time. It always goes so fast when Michael Steele is on the show.
Thanks for downloading this Michael Steele podcast quick take. Now, you can always find us on Apple Podcasts where, guess what? You can review us. You can give us 5 stars. Oh, yeah. I love the 5-star rating. Or you can catch us on iHeart, Stitcher, TuneIn, or wherever you get your podcasts. See you soon.
I'm sports psychologist Dr. Andrew Jacobs. I created the Sportsmanship Foundation to promote and educate parents and athletes about the role of good sportsmanship in our development. Learn more at winnersunlimited.com. That's winnersunlimited.com.
Everyone loses golf balls, even the pros. When you need golf balls, go to LostGolfBalls.com, the world's largest inventory of used golf balls. All the top brands, in stock, 50% off retail. LostGolfBalls.com.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to Ramp.com and love finance again.